Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship at First Congregational Church in Winchester. It's a blessing to be with you today on this kind of gray and rainy day, but it's nice to be amongst community. For those of you worshiping with us online, hello, feel free to say hi, make yourself known in the comments section. We love hearing from you, knowing that you are part of worship just like anyone else who is in the sanctuary. The theme of our service today, along with our Lenten series, is walking towards healing. We're focusing on this verse from Scripture. They were brought to Jesus and he healed them. That's from Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. So this week we will be walking together towards accounts of Jesus' healing in Scripture. St. Hildegard von Bingen and disability theology also accompany our Matthew text. And in this theme, for the first time in a long time, we are doing a laying on of hands healing station during our prayer time. So we'll be inviting members of the congregation who are worshiping in person to receive a healing blessing or prayer at the back of the church. So members of ministry team and health ministry invite you to receive these prayers, and we'll be doing them during the candlelit prayers of the people. And Will is going to give a little bit more information about that when the time comes. If you prefer to remain at your seat, either for lighting a candle or receiving a laying on of hands prayer, raise your hand and one of our great deacons will light a candle for you and ask if you would like a prayer and what you'd like us to pray for. Another slight change, we are singing, "O Lord, Hear My Prayer" during the candlelit prayer time, not "Jesus, Remember Me." Just another note about our order of worship today. You'll notice that Maggie is not here. She's away for the weekend, but our Stepping Stones teachers will be leading a wonderful lesson on Jesus healing the paralyzed man. There will be no junior forum this Sunday, but we do have forum in the evening, and Reverend Will is going to lead time for the young today. So friends, let's come together in the spirit of worship and hear these words from St. Hildegard von Bingen. God is the foundation for everything. This God undertakes, God gives. Let's hear that again. God is the foundation for everything. This God undertakes, God gives. Come, let us worship the foundation of our being. Come, let us worship the divinity running through the roots in the soil under our feet and the breath of the Spirit filling our lungs. Come, let us worship God. I invite you now to rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn. This is a day of new beginnings, found on the screen or in New Century Hymnal 417, verses 1 through 4.
Standing and join me in a spirit of prayer. In the quiet of this morning and the sacredness of this space, we gather in worship of you, O God. We gather as a people on a journey that had its source in you, that is sustained by you, and that is moving towards you. Some of us are walking with a heaviness of heart that we don't know how to shake. Some of us with an anxiety of spirit that vexes us. Some of us with the concerns for loved ones on our minds. Some of us with illness in ourselves that unsettles us. And you, O God, are a healing God, as made known in your Son, Jesus, who came to care and to heal, and whose Spirit is still at work in the world to do so. As we worship this morning, we lay ourselves and our world open to you and your healing Spirit, and ask for you to come and heal us. It is in Jesus' blessed name we offer the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Kids, before you head out to Stepping Stones, I'd like to invite you down for a time for the young. I know it's me instead of Maggie, sorry about that. But come on down to the steps and I want to talk to you a little bit about the scriptures that we have for this morning. I'm also going to invite one of the choir members to join me for my demonstration so I don't have to demonstrate on any of you. Bruce, will you come forward? Thank you. All right. Maybe a few sit right here, Bruce. So we're talking about, you all know Bruce, this is Bruce.
Hi.
So we're talking about in our scriptures this morning, here in church, and then in your Stepping Stones class, we're talking about how Jesus has this remarkable power to heal. So I wanted to talk a little bit about our hands and the amazing things that they are. So everybody look at their hands. Look at your hands and wiggle your fingers, make them into fists, spread them open, clap them together, and think about all the ways that we can express, let's say, both positive and negative things with our hands. So give me an example of what a negative thing with my hand would be for me to do with my hand, except the bad word thing, but go ahead. Yes, exactly. So if I went like that to Bruce, right, that is not a nice thing to do, but though that's what my hands could do, right? What's another thing that might be, what's a good thing, positive thing that we can do with our hands? Well, positive? What's a good thing? Oh, like this, Bruce. Oh. Right, and what does that mean? What does that mean?
does it mean? Like, boom, I don't know, friendship. I don't know what that means. Does anybody know what that means? What about this? Yeah, clap. Right? So with our hands, we can affirm one another. We can clap. We can do this. Right? We can hug each other and squeeze each other. If Bruce was having a hard time, I could put my arm around him and squeeze his shoulder. That's what these hands can do. What else can these hands do? Oh, very good. What is he doing? What's Bruce doing? He's conducting an orchestra, right. So hands can bring, and Jane is amazing at this, hands can bring music out of people. Isn't that? That's an amazing thing. You know what else hands can do? They can communicate, right? Tell me how hands can communicate.
They can turn candles on.
Yep. Well, they can do things like that. But how can hands communicate? Like if you wanted to say, okay, what would you do? Do you know the symbol for okay? Yes, okay. You don't even have to say anything. If someone said, hey, will you do this for me? Okay, what else? Other things that the hands can do. How about... what do you think? Okay, what about... What else is hands can protect you, actually. So Bruce could have, when I went like this and was mean with my hands to him, he could have put up his hands, right? And then kept protected himself. So that's a good thing that hands can do. Hands can, if Bruce had, I should have asked you to put a dollar bill in your hand. Do you have your wallet on you? So hands can do this, right? Hands can grab. And that's not such a good thing, is it?
Or somebody walks up to your car.
Oh, hands can gift people with money. Thank you so much. It's going right in my pocket. But really, isn't that a dramatic thing that hands can try to grab, but hands can also give? And one of the things that Jesus did in his ministry that we read about in the Bible, and you all are going to read talk about in Stepping Stones, is that the way Jesus touched people, Jesus had this amazing outpouring of love in his heart and in his life for all the people around him, so that when he would touch people, that they could be healed of illness, healed of sorrow, healed of brokenness. And so we have all these stories where Jesus heals people with the touch of his hands. And we can offer that just as we can hurt people. We can also heal people by touching them gently, by being receptive to them when they need a friend. And that's all that we can do with our hands. So when you all are in Stepping Stones, actually after we do the lighting of candles, we're gonna invite people back to the chairs in the back of the church. And we're going to, if people want, and they don't have to, of course, but if people want, we're going to do a laying on of hands of them. So they'll sit in the chair, and then Maeve and I and Michelle and Eileen are going to put our hands, and we're going to say a little prayer over them. And that's the way we, in our religious tradition, offer healing to one another, is that we place our hands on one another, and we can pray for each other. So that's, and then think about, as you are with Carolyn and others in Stepping Stones, think about how hands are used in the story you're going to. I'm not sure that in the story Jesus speaks with his words, the words of healing, but the hands are used in other ways, right, in this story that you're going to be listening to. So thanks for demonstrating. I hope I didn't hurt you. And thanks for the money, Bruce. Really appreciate it. All right, so let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for the way you have given us the gift of our hands, the way we can use them for good. We ask you to please help us to resist using them for bad, and that we thank you for giving us the power to heal people around us like we can through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, thanks you all. We'll see you. Carolyn will head out. Thanks, Bruce.
So as the kids are leaving, let's sing together hymn number 489 in the black-covered New Century Hymnal. We can remain seated for this, and it's called I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
Morning. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, from the Inclusive Bible. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven, and healing all kinds of diseases and sicknesses among the people. His fame spread throughout Syria, and people suffering from illnesses and painful ailments of all kinds, those who were demon-possessed, those who were epileptic, those who were paralyzed, were brought to Jesus, and he healed them. Large crowds followed Jesus, coming from Galilee to the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and Transjordania. We also have a contemplative text today to complement our scripture. It comes from the book Physica by St. Hildegard von Bingen, translated by Priscilla Troop. The eagle has a marvelous nature within it and in its heart. It contains such great knowledge, shining beyond the ordinary, that the human heart cannot endure it. The many varieties of eagles have the same nature, though one may be fiercer, another gentler, one may fly higher, another slower, just as people differ in their illnesses, but have one nature, humanity. May these words become meaningful as we allow them into our hearts.
Friends, won't you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for these words found in your scripture and given to your servant, St. Hildegard. We ask that they meditate within us and bloom within us and spread outward. As we understand you more fully, may we transmit that into the world before us. In your name we pray, amen. I saw such a great light that my soul quaked. The heavens were open and a blinding light of exceptional brilliance flowed throughout my entire brain. Thus came the commandment from God to say and write what I had seen and heard. This comes from St. Hildegard von Bingen, 12th century prophet, anchorite, religious leader, author, composer, physician, woman of God, and highly sensitive person and migraine sufferer, maybe? The quote we just heard comes from her own writings, and it's a wonder that we have any written records at all from any 12th century figure, especially from a woman, but thankfully we have many. We have over 300 letters from her, several books, we have her poetry and her music. It's really a wonder. St. Hildegard was born into an aristocratic family, and she first experienced a blinding vision from God at the age of 3 or 4. Her parents then promised her to a convent at the age of 8, and it was very common, actually, in the time in medieval Europe to promise a child who had visions or not to religious life and pay an amount akin to a dowry to shelter, feed, and, in a sense, raise a child. St. Hildegard entered the convent of Disibodenberg in Germany at the age of 14 in the early 1100s, a practice about which she reported having mixed feelings. Though she did deem that 14 was old enough to consent to fully devoting oneself to convent life. St. Hildegard was committed as an anchorite for her first decades at Disibodenberg. Anchorite comes from the Koine Greek verb anachoreo, which means to withdraw or to retreat. The anchorite is a woman who is confined to, or plans to confine to, herself, a room for the rest of her life, where she will devote herself to God. St. Hildegard shared a small enclosed cell with a woman named Jutta. Enclosed in a tight, dim room attached to the St. Disibod Abbey, St. Hildegard called this space her burial chamber. Only a slit or a small window through the door connected St. Hildegard and Jutta to the outside world. Visitors would come to them and make prayer requests, and members of the abbey would pass them food, water, sacred reading materials, and other necessities, but never come in direct contact or touch with the two women, or even enter their burial chamber. St. Hildegard devoted her time to memorizing scripture, understanding and analyzing church doctrines and writings, learning how to read music, and praying deeply for intercession for her community and the larger world. St. Hildegard confides in Jutta, the only person she feels comfortable confiding in for many years after entering Disibodenberg, about her visions. She tells Jutta that she encounters God, and she feels like there's a blinding light that overcomes her sight and all of her senses. She believes her visions come from the shade of the living light, or a source of the living God manifested on earth through human perception. Jutta dies in 1136, and around that time, St. Hildegard moves out of her role as abbey anchorite and into magistrate of the convent. So she is out of her cell and she is roaming around a lot more freely, overseeing community life for the nuns there. St. Hildegard continues to keep her visions a secret until 1141 at the age of 42, when she receives one of her most intense encounters yet. As you heard at the beginning of her story, here's how St. Hildegard recounts this vision. The heavens were opened and a blinding light of exceptional brilliance flowed throughout my entire brain. Thus came the commandment from God to say and write what I had seen and heard. Still, she resists telling her community, and she continues to fall ill from the sensory overwhelm of the shade of the living light. In many instances, her visions force her to be in bed for days or weeks on end, enclosed in darkness again as she was in the burial chamber, only this time alone, without Jutta beside her. When St. Hildegard finally feels as though she cannot bear to keep silent any longer, she decides to come out, as it were, as a prophet, experiencing perception-altering, sensory-overwhelming divine revelations. She starts writing, and she shares her story. Her experience, in fact, draws the attention of Pope Eugenius in the late 1140s, and he gives her papal approval and encouragement to publish. Can you imagine that, being a woman in 1140, receiving this encouragement from the Pope? She writes of her visions in the first of three books about her revelations. It's called Scivias, or Know the Ways of the Lord, in 1151. And if you're keeping track, St. Hildegard is 52 when she completes Scivias. For the remainder of her life, she continues experiencing visions that range from overwhelming to debilitating. She continues writing, leading her communities, and fighting to plant new convents. She argues with priests a lot about theology and religious life structures, and she prays. Somehow, in her free time, she also composes over 70 musical pieces, the text and recordings you can still find today, and she dedicates herself to the study of human biology in the natural world. In her medical text, Physica, a passage from which you heard today, she explores how God has shaped with divinity the structures of plants, minerals, and rocks, and the beings of birds and other animals. About the eagle, St. Hildegard writes, "The eagle has a marvelous nature within it and in its heart. It contains such great knowledge, shining beyond the ordinary, that the human heart cannot endure it. The many varieties of eagles have the same nature, though one may be fiercer, another gentler, one may fly higher, another slower, just as people differ in their illnesses, but have one nature, humanity." I'm not a historian, I'm a pastor, but I know it's best practice to remain skeptical of anyone who attempts to diagnose a historical figure with a modern health condition, trait, or disorder. In order to understand the historical figure more fully and accurately, it can be helpful to see the world through their perspective, as it were, even if, especially if, it doesn't fall in line with our 21st century sensibilities. St. Hildegard and her contemporaries strongly believed she was a prophetess in the image of Miriam and Deborah, who received divine messages through visio, or vision in Latin. However, modern scholars and historians have a different interpretation of St. Hildegard and her sensory overwhelm. Many folks who have studied her and know a thing or two about overstimulation and neurologic disorders have attributed her visions to migraines. Imagine if someone came to you and claimed St. Hildegard's symptoms, an overload that affects all of her symptoms, or her senses rather, a blinding aura that distorts and blinds the world, an almost hallucinatory perception, sensitivity to external stimuli before, during, and after the incident, and a bodily fatigue that leaves her enclosed in a world of her own for days on end. Wouldn't you also think the evidence is compelling enough to consider her a highly sensitive person, someone who is easily affected by sensory input like light and noise, or at least someone who regularly gets migraines? Many of us here belong to a tradition that does not venerate saints. Unlike some Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, and Episcopal traditions, we don't offer prayers through saints or celebrate their feast days. At least I don't, even though I find saints' lives fascinating, rich, and compelling, and I have prayer cards in my office, and I've even led some religious education on saints. Instead, we appreciate their stories of hardship and connection to God, Christ, and Spirit, and the long lineage of our ecumenical Christian history. Yes, this is true. And also, we believe deeply in the mystery of our faith, and the complicated ways that divinity, the Trinity, reveal themselves to us in a way our human perception has trouble rationalizing into our logical world. So were St. Hildegard's visions prophetic or simply migraines? Jury's out on this one, and I don't think anyone but God can know for sure. But here's what I do know. There is much we can learn from this story of a medieval polymath woman who was all at once much too bold and much too sensitive for her world. There is much we can learn from a disabled woman of God navigating the call of her faith and the harshness of human experience. There is much we can learn from St. Hildegard's perspective and how it fits into Jesus's ministry and maybe even our own. For a long while, I found myself very connected to St. Hildegard without really understanding why. Actually, a few of my friends do too. One of my close friends, Gray, named his cat Hildy after her. Several months ago, I learned more about the specifics and intensity of her migraines from the podcast Queer as Fact. And it suddenly clicked why I had felt this kinship with St. Hildegard. I saw myself mirrored in her experience. As some of you know, I experience vision-altering, painful, and fatiguing migraines somewhat similar to St. Hildegard's a few times a year. Most days, I experience what I call overstimulation. Usually in the afternoon, after lunch, the world just kind of becomes too loud for me. Colors too bright, lights from lamps or the sun too piercing, sounds ear-aching. I develop a fatigue and a headache and a fogginess. I can't concentrate, and I feel like I need to enclose myself in a darkness for a while, my burial chamber, my bat cave, as I call it. I recently learned other people struggle with the same sensory issues that I have. Probably several of you actually sitting here in this space or watching online. Highly sensitive people, this is a term coined by psychologists Dr. Elaine and Aaron, share these traits, as well as people who are neurodivergent, have ADHD or autism spectrum disorder, or have experienced psychological or physical trauma. Receiving my ADHD diagnosis and identifying as an HSP has opened the world to me, opened the door to accepting how my brain and my nervous system interact, how I am so ready now to receive and accept my brain and my nervous system and trust my perception of the world, which can feel bright, deep, and nuanced. I love this quote by Dr. Aaron, who is an HSP herself, and she says, "I am deeply moved by things. I'd hate to miss the intense joy of that." I relate to that so much. The theme of today's worship service is healing. And I don't think I really need to be healed, or what I mean is I don't need to be fixed. I don't want someone to wave a wand over my head and say, "No more ADHD, no more ADHD, no more ADHD," and be magically cured. But I do want to be seen. I want to be perceived. I want to be able to retreat into quiet and darkness when I need to, fidget, stretch, and stim when I need to, be bold and assertive and silly when I need to, wear my noise-canceling headphones and earplugs when I need to at the grocery store, cry when I need to, and ask to lower the lights and turn down the volume when I need to. I want my needs to be taken seriously, and I want them to be normalized. I want structures in place that make the world more accessible to me and others like me. I don't want to be erased. And this acceptance is what I think Jesus does so well in his ministry. So many of us are told to hide or mask our disabilities or disorders. Push through the pain. Don't be a crybaby. Don't be so sensitive. Don't ask for help. Don't let others know how you feel. Don't look weird. Don't look weak. Things that I've been told before. But Jesus rejected all of these ableist narratives way back in ancient Rome. Jesus gravitated toward the crybabies, proud crybaby here, the weak, the sensitive, the pained, the disabled. He opened himself to them, loved them for who they are, and asked them, "Brother, sister, sibling, what do you need? What can I give you?" Jesus was willing to perceive them. He didn't ask them to hide. He didn't ask them to change. Remember the hemorrhaging woman in the Synoptic Gospels, the woman who had been suffering for over a decade with excessive bleeding and touches the hem of Jesus' clothes? His sense of perception is so good, he sensed the woman needed his help just by the touch of her hand on his hem before even seeing her. He asked people what they needed from him, and he accepted them. The demon-possessed, the epileptic, the paralyzed, all. Jesus' response to disability was perception and accommodation. Accommodation suggested by the disabled people themselves. Now the question remains, and this is something I've theologically struggled with for a long time, If Jesus was accommodating them, why did many of the disabled and sick folks who came to Jesus ask for healing? Healing, this being cured from whatever ailment they had. Well, maybe that's what they needed. Maybe that's how they could envision a better, more full lives for themselves. Even though St. Hildegard and I wouldn't necessarily choose to be healed or fixed from our visions, perhaps a Christ follower or a member of Christ's early community would have. Maybe they would want those visions taken away, their migraines taken away for good. One of my great friends, Maggie Clark, is a seminarian at Wake Forest, and she recently preached on this topic at Green Street United Methodist Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Maggie is ADHD and autistic, and she is also a Christ follower training to become ordained. She preached on John 9, often called Jesus Heals the Blind Man, and interprets this scene as Jesus calling us and his disciples to reimagine a world where not only the man receives accommodations, but also where the world is healed into non-ableism. Perhaps the hemorrhaging woman reaching out to Jesus, the blind man and the paralyzed man who is lowered through the roof of his house, chose to come out to Jesus, to be seen by Jesus, to receive the touch of his healing love and divine power to take away these ailments that were hurting them. But maybe Jesus came across folks who asked instead for a different, more embracing world, or a mobility or another accommodation device that would help better support their needs. We are in a tradition that believes in Jesus' radical message of loving kindness, inclusivity, and empowerment of the meek and the oppressed. And also, we're a tradition that believes in Christ, Jesus and Christ, as one. We believe in the power of Christ's healing touch. We believe that he did heal folks, body, heart, mind, soul. And we believe in how the Spirit calls us as individuals to pray, to bless, to reach out to our fellow neighbors and lay hands upon them, especially to those who are hurting, broken, and sick. Jesus the man and Jesus the Messiah responded to his disabled community with trust, humanity, healing touch, and an unflinching willingness to perceive. In the spirit of Jesus, in the spirit of Christ, we will lay hands on each other later in this service. And if you're not comfortable with that, as Reverend Will said, you can let us know, or you can cross your hands over your chest. We will just pray above you. So friends, during this time when we leave this space, may God's love, Christ's peace, and the Spirit's comfort flow through us, in us, and beyond us to each other. May we remember St. Hildegard, a powerful, mystical, Spirit-led, and disabled woman of God, whose visions continue to teach us 1,000 years later after her death. May we walk in the ways of Jesus, where loving perception guides us to the path of liberation and the healing we long to have. St. Hildegard longed to have, and Jesus longs to have for ourselves, each other, and in this world. Amen.
Let us present with joy our offerings of commitment and support for the work of Christ Church.
So we come to our time of prayer. Those of you online, I encourage you to either light a candle at home to join us in this time of prayer, or you can write in to the YouTube chat a name or a prayer that, and we can light a candle for you here at the table. We remind you to, when you go to light your candle, to hold the lit candle straight and turn the unlit candle towards it. It helps with wax. Then as you come forward to offer a prayer, if you would like, there are going to be, as we've talked about, there are going to be two chairs back here for healing prayer. If you'd like, you can come around, and after you've lit candles, go to one of those stations, and we'll do a brief healing prayer with you, either laying on of hands or hovering our hands above you, depending on what you'd like. And you can either share specifically what you'd like prayed for, or you can just come and generally say you'd like to be prayed for. So we're happy to do whatever you're needing at this time. Also, the deacons will make available for those who can't as easily come forward or go to the back. If you'd like us to come to you, we're happy to come to you with candles or with our healing hands. So just wave or catch the sight of one of the deacons who will be walking around. So let's enter into this time of prayer together as a community.
We sense the fire of your Spirit, O God, in our lives, in this room, in our relationships across this world. We know that the fire of your love is what is deepest in this world. And we pray that you will make of us instruments of that healing presence that is yours. Hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's close our time of worship together, and we will, by singing Come Forth, O Love Divine, the black-covered New Century Hymnal, number 289, or the words will be on the screen in front of you. Please rise as you are able. Please be seated. Just for a few announcements and our benediction and postlude. We're continuing on with our Mondays with Buddha and Jesus, looking at where these the Buddhist and Christian traditions cross one another and inform our Lenten journey. That happens at 6 o'clock on Monday nights. We have a few more of them to go. So feel free. They build on the sessions build on one another to some extent, but you won't be too lost if you come now for the first time, or just come to one of them. So feel free. Also, just note that hopefully you saw in the announcements in the weekly email that we're doing the flower dedication of lilies for Easter, and there are some of these in the back as you leave. Just you can ask the deacons. If you don't see them back there, and there's a form that you can fill out of who you're dedicating them to. And then we're also going to be delivering some of these lilies around to the wider congregation at some point, too. We'll put out word about that and recruit some of you for helping us do that. On Friday, we have an incredible concert coming up.
Ooh, you better be quick about it. It was a pretty full chapel last time when we had Atwater Donnelly, and they are really good, really lively, and kind of, what are you calling them, bluegrass sort of folk? Traditional American and Celtic folk, okay? They're great. You can Google them and listen to them, too. And then finally, the Dwelling Place is happening also, on Saturday of this week, and we really appreciate the way everyone has participated in providing food for that and then being present there to help serve the meals. So we encourage you to sign up for that. And who do we see for that here? Michelle, Jonathan, are they here today? And who else? Oh, Betsy. Betsy, should we see you? What? You're just a backup, but with that, okay. But there you are. So let Betsy know. How's that? All right. Yeah. And it's a great response for any anxiety and concern and frustration you feel about the state of our world and about the politics of our world and the wars in our world is to just dig straight into a hands-on offering of yourself to others. And that's an opportunity for that. So.
Well said. Yeah. Friends, let us go out in love and peace. May God guide our way with God's holy lamp to healing, healing ourselves and others in the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of Christ. Let us go forward in peace to love and serve God.